proceed to the sixth case, United States v. Armas Calvillo. Chevalier?
May it please the Court, my name is Anthony Dellier, and I represent Javier Armas Calvillo. The plain language of Title VIII, the statutory definition of a conviction, was never mentioned in Garcia Lopez. United States Code annotated 1101-48A is inconsistent with this Court's determination of what is a prior conviction. The Court in Sandoval versus United States, the same Court, determined that a vacated conviction that was vacated for any reason other than a rehabilitative reason would not count under the definition provided in Title VIII. In Herrera Iñero v. INS 208 F3rd 299 at 305, the First Circuit did a really nice job of summarizing what convictions should count or not. State rehabilitative programs that have the effect of vacating a conviction other than on the merits or on a basis tied to a violation of statutory or constitutional right in the underlying criminal case have no bearing on determining whether an alien is to be convicted under 1101A48A. You'll notice that that language very closely mirrors the sentencing guidelines 4A1.2. Reverse vacated or invalidated convictions, sentences resulting from convictions have been reversed or vacated because of errors of law or because of subsequently discovered evidence exonerating the defendant, do not count. So the state of Wisconsin vacated Mr. Calvillo's conviction, and 28 United States Code 1738, basically the comedy code, says that the records in judicial proceedings have, by law, the same effect in the federal court as they had in the state court. And that is, in fact, something that was recognized in Sandoval. When a court acts within its jurisdiction and vacates an original judgment of conviction, its actions must be respected. So, in Garcia, this court did a wonderful job of analyzing the sentencing guidelines and going through it, and came up with a compelling, I think, argument that said, you know, having a sentence vacated because they forgot to warn you about the immigration consequences doesn't matter. The problem is the only way that this reasoning works is if you ignore the statutory definition, which, as I've pointed out, has never been included in any of these prior cases in the circuit. Then the question becomes, okay, if the guidelines say that you can't use it, then what do we do? I think that the government will probably argue, well, it doesn't matter because what happened, judges, is at a point in time. At the time when he came back to the United States, he still had a conviction. It was only afterwards that he had that conviction undone. This is either an element of offense or it's a sentencing enhancement. If it was an element of offense, we can forget about it now because it wasn't charged, and I'm sure the court's well aware of the element of Torres arguments involved in that. But I believe that the government will take the position this is a sentencing enhancement, and because the guidelines say we can use it, we can use it. First, the guidelines would have to contradict the definition. And second, and most important, because it's the United States, you know, a different context, the armed career criminal, they said federal court is not the appropriate forum to contest your prior conviction. But they also said that while we won't give you a forum, if you're able to have a conviction overturned, that would have an effect on the sentencing guidelines, and we take no, you know, express no opinion at this time about what would happen. And it's been a long morning for you. I hope that was brief and to the point.
Thank you. Mr. Anderson.
Good morning or afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Rob Anderson. I'm the Assistant United States Attorney. I have the privilege of representing the United States in this matter for the purposes of arguing this appeal. I'll hopefully be brief and to the point as well. The issue is not what the definition of a conviction is. There's no dispute about that. And there was no dispute. Garcia-Lopez didn't use some different definition for the definition of a conviction. The issue is what was his status when he committed the offense, what was his status when he was deported, which is what invokes the statutory reference to the 10-year penalties, whether he was deported subsequent to a conviction for a felony offense, what was his status at that time. The appellant does not, and in fact cannot, dispute that when he was deported in October 2007, he was a convicted felon. When he reentered the United States illegally in November 2007, he was a convicted felon. When he was apprehended in January 2008 in possession of drugs with the intent to distribute, parenthetically, supporting the reasoning behind these enhancements for prior conviction for felony offenses and deportation, observed in the Garcia-Lopez decision, he was a convicted felon when he was apprehended then. When he entered a plea to this offense, he was a convicted felon at that time. The appellant's attempt to distinguish this case by citing to inapposite or inapplicable cases, like referring in his reply brief, citing immigration appeal cases involving, which those involve the vacature of convictions before an alien is deported. That's what they're arguing about in those cases, is the vacature of convictions before they're deported. He's already past that gate. He's already through that point. This case, these facts are directly on all four legs with the Garcia-Lopez decision, where Garcia-Lopez, after illegally reentering the United States, after having been deported with a felony conviction, vacated his prior felony convictions because he'd not been advised of the immigration consequences of his guilty plea. That's exactly where, in Garcia-Lopez, this court ruled the plain language of 2L1.2 made the appropriate and relevant inquiry whether he stood convicted of the felonies at the time of the deportation, and the vacature for failure to advise him of immigration consequences was on technical grounds, thus the application of that enhancement was appropriate and supported the guideline's underlying purpose. The defendant here merely wants to disagree with Garcia-Lopez, the outcome in that case, and wants this court to revisit it, which is, there is no compelling reason for this court to revisit that case. This is on all fours with that. He just ignores the simpler reality that the issue is what was his status at that time. It's not what the status he can orchestrate those convictions to be at the time of sentencing. And unless there are any questions, then the government would rely on the other points made in its brief.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Ms. Valliere?
Mr. Anderson was not the attorney that did this case, and so it is unlikely that he knew that he was misspeaking when he said that at the time of sentencing, I believe he said sentencing, perhaps he said the guilty plea, that the defendant still stood convicted of these crimes. At the time he was sentenced, he was not, and that's the key critical thing. If you look at Garcia-Lopez, you will find that a significant portion of it is addressed to exactly the issue of what is a conviction and whether it should stand or not. I think that that is a key critical thing. But again, and just very briefly, if it's a sentencing enhancement at the time that you get sentenced, if it's no longer a valid conviction, it cannot be used. And that is exactly what happened in this case. At the time he was sentenced, it was not there. In Garcia-Lopez, the judge did a great job with the information he had of laying out why he thought that the guidelines would support sentencing of this status. It would be a lot like, you know, someone who had been convicted of carrying a gun. The fact that they had the prior felony that prevented them from having the gun would not allow the court to then just dismiss the case if it was vacated because they broke the law. But that's a criminal statute. It's not a sentencing guideline. The sentencing guidelines are applied at the time of sentencing, and whether they are written in a past tense, which would make it seem like a pretty compelling argument that it should be, you know, what was his status at the time he came back into the country, the fact of the matter is there's a statutory definition that says that conviction does not count. Thank you.
Thank you for accepting the appointment in this case. All right, the case will be taken under advisement.